Amazing. Amazing. Oh my goodness. I'm just so, so excited. I mean, people on the floor, I feel like we're just like killing it over here. I love it. Amazing. And if you're on the floor and your back starts hurting, then go sit in someone's like lap and y'all can change, like, you can take turns. Well, hey everybody. Thank you so much for your introduction. For those that don't attend North regularly, like she said, I am on staff here at North and also love to talk about my roommate and I. We lead a life group here at North, and one of my favorite topics of discussion, some of the girls in our life group are here, they probably know, is the Holy Spirit. I always feel like I bring things back to the Holy Spirit, and it's twofold. One, because I know how the power and hand and guidance of the Holy Spirit has absolutely changed my life, and so it's hard for me to talk about anything else. And then two, I know that it's something that people can feel confused by sometimes, or maybe even intimidated by, depending on what tradition you grew up in or depending on your experience. And so my hope today in preparing is that we're really going to get to the heart of what this means to hear the Holy Spirit. And when you read that title, you may have thought, okay, what are we talking about? Like, are we all going to get like slain in the Spirit and be speaking in tongues by the time we leave today? Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, truly. Jordan, don't tempt me over there. But what I really want to do is like lay the groundwork, get to the heart of all this, because I believe that's what the Holy Spirit led me to and even gave me revelation that I have never thought of in reading some of the passages we're going to read. So I'm going to give you a piece of my story, because the other thing I always cling to is what the word says, if we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I'm believing that even the word and pieces of my testimony are going to help people in here overcome. And the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you things about your own life whenever I tell you things about my own life, because that's how he works. So you're going to hear a piece of my story and my journey with the Holy Spirit. And then we're also going to uncover and get to the heart of what being Spirit-led really means and what it can look like for us in our lives. So does that sound good? Yeah. Amazing. Okay, let's pray, and then we're just going to get started. Almighty God, I just thank you for who you are. I'm so grateful to be here today, to get to uncover the words of Scripture, to get to share, to get to speak to your women, your daughters today, God. People who are coming in here and are longing to experience you, longing to feel your presence, longing to be filled with your truth today, I just say thank you. So would you just meet us right here, Father? We know that you're always with us, that you're always around us. Would you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see and feel you and sense your presence in such a real and tangible way? That is what we pray today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I'm believing that God will, as his word says, use the truth of his word and the word of my testimony to help us overcome and to encourage you. And so I was thinking, how would I describe my journey with the Holy Spirit? And my journey with knowing and following and hearing the Holy Spirit, I would describe it as a couple things. One, a consistent unfolding. And I thought it was like a steady search. So I use the word journey on purpose because, one, I'm still on the journey, as everyone in this room is, still on the journey. And I wouldn't say there's maybe one exact moment that is the pinnacle of all of my experience with the Holy Spirit, but it has been a consistent uncovering of who God is, of what his word says, of who I am. Growing up, I grew up in a home that loved the Lord. And so when I say that, I grew up in a Bible-led home. And so here's what I don't mean by Bible-led home. I don't mean that we just had a Bible on a bookshelf in our living room and we never really touched it. And I don't mean that we only reference the Bible every now and then or on holidays or special occasions. And I don't even mean that there was just talk of the Bible, but what I mean by Bible-led home and really Bible-led life was my family, myself, we read the Bible daily. And I saw my parents read the Bible. I was encouraged with Scripture. All of our whys mostly were backed up with the Word of God. And our standard was not, you know, society's expectations or people's expectations or the way society leaned or even the way church leaders leaned. Our standard was the Bible. And Here's the reason I think that's important for you all to hear is, I imagine if you came to this breakout today, I thought of a few categories, and I know it may not cover everyone, but one of the categories I think maybe some people in here, and the reason you chose this breakout is because you find yourself in a place where it seems like everyone is hearing and discerning or feeling the move of the Spirit, and you think to yourself, I have no idea what they're talking about. And I want to know, I just don't know how to know. Like, where do I even begin? So I think that could be one group of you guys in here. The second is you believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, and you may have even seen the power of the Holy Spirit move, whether it be in a church service, or maybe you've had someone pray over you, or they're praying and speaking in tongues, or they would call that their prayer language, or you've been around people who even talk about the Holy Spirit revelation. So it's not that you don't think the Holy Spirit can move, but you have potentially lost your belief that the Holy Spirit can speak to you. I think that's maybe a second group in here. And a third are people, and the Holy Spirit really laid this on my heart, that you are currently jaded by the misuse of the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit and power of God maybe have been misportrayed to you, and maybe by the grace of God you were drawn to this breakout, this session, in some sort of like last-ditch effort that maybe the Holy Spirit is not what you saw, and maybe there is more to learn and more to know. And you may not fall into any of those categories. You may fall into a whole different category, but I want you to know the reason I tell you pieces of my story is what we're going to talk about today is what is found in the Word. And I will say, you know, the Holy Spirit's such a huge topic. I mean, obviously, there's full conferences on the Holy Spirit. There's 12-week Bible studies on one verse in the passage of Scripture. So there's so much we're not going to hit, obviously, but everything we're going to say is founded in the Word of God. And so I trust that no matter where you find yourself, that God, truly in His sovereignty, will work in me and through the truth of His Word and to meet you where you're at today and to be the gift to you in your life that you need in your journey. So back to my story. Okay, you may think, okay, Savannah, I hear you talking about the Bible thing, and that's awesome, but what does that have to do with hearing the Holy Spirit? Everything. It has to do with everything. I mentioned journey, like I said, because life lived with the Holy Spirit, it's not linear. And if anyone in here has grown up and you feel like this person of the Trinity is someone that you are really close to or whatever, you know that. You know living life with the Holy Spirit's not linear. It's not predictable or necessarily even straight or easy. Now, don't get me wrong. The life is narrow. The Word says that, right? Jesus says that. But it's not always straight. And one hope that I have today, I'll say this a couple times as I go, as I share pieces of my story and God's story and His Word, will kind of break down and expose some myths, and I believe even lies, that we, the church, have believed to be the truth. And the first myth is this, that there is one way the Holy Spirit moves, speaks, and nudges. And if you can't hear or feel or discern that one specific way, then you are missing it and ultimately missing Him. That is not the truth. And I say that, I want to encourage you, because God has made us all so uniquely, and He knows the way that you need to hear from Him. He knows, and thank God that He's not going to speak to you the way that He's going to speak to someone else. So I just want to start off with that. Don't believe the lie that the Holy Spirit only speaks one way. So I was raised in a Bible-led home, and this in turn resulted in me being exposed to many experiences that I would have called the move of God. When I was in elementary school, I encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit in a really tangible way at one of my kids' camps. Who went to like overnight kids' camp or church camp when you're younger? I loved those things. And I remember it was after one of our evening services. You know, kids' camp, it wasn't necessarily like Holy Spirit rained down. It was more like we had, you know, people dressed in cool costumes, but we were still singing about the truth of God. But I remember after one of the services, some of our leaders stayed around, and they, I guess, and from my point of view, they felt led to pray for some of the kids to receive the Holy Spirit and to really experience that. And I was one of them. I remember I went into the room where we had service, and they, and some women, amen. You to move, you don't part the water. That's a good song. I could not. Anyway, those are the type of songs we sing at camp. So perfectly timed, Frida. Thank you so much. I remember I walked to the room and they were praying, and some of them were speaking in tongues, and they were truly praying. Like, and they told some of the students, if you want to receive like the power of the Holy Spirit, it could look like this, it could look like this. If you want to receive your prayer language, like, be bold and ask for that, and we're going to pray for that. And I remember I was like, okay. And I remember the moment so clearly. I remember they're praying and they're like, hey, they were kind of walking us through it in a very biblical way to what I knew then. They said, if you, you feel like the Holy Spirit's given you like a language that you may not even understand, like syllables or phrases, like, don't be afraid. Say those out loud. This is a safe space, you know? So I remember encountering the Holy Spirit, and one of my leaders was like, you receive your prayer language or whatever. And I remember walking back, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe what just happened. I remember going back to my room and sitting on my bunk, and I was like repeating the phrase in my head, because I was like, I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget it. Because I was like, this is like mumbo jumbo, so it's very easy to forget. So I remember that whole night I was like laying there and I was like, I don't want to forget my prayer language. Lord, help me not forget my prayer language. Help me not forget my prayer language. And so I remember that moment. It was so imprinted on me, though. I was young. Now that I look back, in the moment, I didn't feel young. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. But I was, like, looking back at like that being such a real tangible experience. And I mean, from that point forward, I prayed in my prayer language, and I would be in my room, and we'll talk kind of a little bit about prayer language later. But for me, I really, from when I was a young girl, I've always been sensitive to the Spirit of God and the nudging of the Spirit. And I've always been a person of conviction. I've always had, most of my life, a sense in my gut when something was from God. And I remember when I was younger, and I would get up in the middle of church service on a Sunday morning as like a middle school girl in front of our entire congregation. And I would be like standing there in the front, and I would feel like the Holy Spirit was like, you need to read this passage of scripture to the room. And I'd be like, so I would like walk to the front of the stage. Luckily, my dad was the worship pastor. Let me give you some context. So I was like, Dad, I'm supposed to say something, you know? And he's like, okay. And what's funny now, when I look back, like, now I can't even imagine. If I'm on stage right now and some young girl's like, I want to say something, I'd be like, like, I can't even imagine being like, sure, sister. But one thing I want to side note, now that I'm older, I believe it was the Lord's specific grace that he gave me opportunities to exercise that. So I want to say to you, if God is putting something on your heart, he will make a way and give people the grace to be able to exercise that gift. So I really, as I was thinking about this, I was like, why in the world did they let me do that? I can't even imagine what I said. But God, I really believe in his sovereignty, gave them the grace to let me hold the mic and say a little something to all the people in the church. So that leads me, what I realized as I was talking and even thinking about my story was, I have been exercising this muscle of listening and hearing to the Holy Spirit for over 2 decades now. And that leads me to another side myth that I believe that we can think. And the myth is that we shouldn't have to practice hearing the Holy Spirit if it's from the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the truth is, any gift, any skill, any ability takes practice. It takes practice. It takes consistency. It takes trust. And it takes time. And although the Holy Spirit can be, quote unquote, spontaneous 100%, I bet many of you in this room have felt like, I feel led to go pray for this person, or I feel led to pay for this person's meal, or I feel 100% there is that. But don't let that convince you to believe that it won't take consistency and time and practice on your part, because God is who he says he is, right? But we are just human, and so it's us learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So again, as I had gotten older, as I had served the Lord longer, I realized that I would have no revelation from the Holy Spirit if I neglected my relationship with God. I would have no revelation, I want to say that again, from the Holy Spirit if I neglected my relationship with God. As I was preparing for this talk, I had so many directions that I wanted to go. And honestly, I thought about these like firebomb things, these words of conviction, and the ones that are like, oh, like, drop the mic, that was so good. And they were biblical, don't get me wrong, but none of them, I mean, I was preparing a couple of days ago and I was like, none of this is sitting right with me. And I'm like, but God, this is like, everyone in here is going to be like, oh man, ouch, ouch. And, but what I realized today when I was prepping that what God wanted for us today was not just to talk about the logistics of the Holy Spirit or even to debate the hot button topics that theologians have studied for years and years. God wanted us, by his grace, he led me to John 14. And I believe this is, we're going to lay the groundwork today. That's what I believe God wants us to do, is lay the groundwork for us as disciples to hearing and discerning the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say today, if you're in here and you say, Savannah, I believe my relationship with the Holy Spirit is pretty good. And I believe I'm hearing from him to the best of my ability. I believe I'm walking by the Spirit like the word says. Then I would say, praise God and let him reveal something else to you today. So be open today, no matter where you're at. I know I said that earlier, but no matter where you're at, I believe the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it will cut between soul and spirit today if you allow it. So that's what I believe we're going to do today. So if you have your Bible or if you're taking notes, we're going to go to John 14. And I want to read a section of verses to you. It's Jesus. He's at the Last Supper with his disciples. And he basically is warning them about what's about to take place. You know, he kind of has this long speech about what's going to happen, and the disciples are finally like, oh my goodness, now I actually know what you're saying. This is crazy, you know, all those things. And so he's talking about this, and we're going to pick up in verse 12, John 14, verse 12. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey me, obey them, are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Amen. Man, that there's so much there. The title, you know, for this talk is Hearing the Holy Spirit. But a phrase that kind of kept coming to me, and maybe I would have retitled this, or it's the title in my heart if you're taking notes, is the ones who love. That's the title, The Ones Who Love. So if we break down what Jesus is saying in this section of Scripture, there are a few things that we can see, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Jesus says in verse 12, anyone who believes will do the same works as I, Jesus, have done. Here's what I know to be true. Satan will come for your belief. He will attack your ability to believe because he knows that the way to accessing the power that raised Jesus, the same power, the same spirit in Jesus, is through belief. He says, anyone who believes will do the same works as I, Jesus, have done. Anyone who believes. Jesus goes on to say in John 16, when he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the advocate that Jesus is sending, he says, let me find it. Yes, in verse 7, chapter 16, verse 7. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. I was reading that and I was like, oh my goodness. So Jesus is saying, the thing that will trip up the world is their ability to believe. And then he says, if you believe in me, you will do the same things that I have done and even greater things. And I thought, of course, no wonder. I feel like something that can hinder us so much as in the church is our faith and our ability to believe that we can even access the power of the Holy Spirit. that we can even experience the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can even be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're like, it doesn't make sense to us. And I thought, of course it doesn't make sense. Satan doesn't want it to make sense. He's attacking our belief. And sometimes the most active thing that you can do as a follower of Christ, as someone seeking to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, is to protect your belief, protect your faith. And I love when the word just informs itself and when it all, you know, makes sense, because in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Paul is telling us to put on the whole armor of God, right? And guess what he says in Ephesians 6, verse 16, he says, in addition to all these, you know, to the belt and to the shoes and to all the things, and to addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Come on. So Paul knew, Jesus knew that Satan would attack our belief. He would attack our ability to believe and to have faith, and that we would have to hold up a shield of faith as protection. So I want to encourage you today, and honestly just like implore you, if you are feeling stuck and you feel like you can't even get the first step, which I feel like is faith and belief, just know that is not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of the Holy Spirit. And you can know there must be something good coming for you, because Satan's really trying his hardest for you not to believe. And you've got to hold up that shield of faith, that shield of faith that will stop the fiery arrows from the devil. Man, so he will come for our belief. That's the first thing that this passage shows us. The second thing that we see from this passage in verse 17, it's that the Holy Spirit leads into all truth. So Jesus says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. So in a few of the verses above that, Thomas, one of the disciples, had said, he was like, Lord, we have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? He asked that. How can we know the way? And Jesus, in an iconic line that we've all heard, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And so then, again, what, 7 verses later, he says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth. So it makes me ask, okay, so what does that mean? The Holy Spirit will lead me into all truth. And Jesus is the truth, right? We just read that. So I want to go forward and look at John 16 again, when he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will bring me glory. This is Jesus talking. He, the advocate, will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So that was in John 16. So that means that the Holy Spirit is the mouthpiece of Jesus, of the truth, of the word. So hang with me. In the beginning of John, John opens. That's what the book we're in. John opens with, in the beginning there was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So the Holy Spirit then is revealing to us the word, right? The Holy Spirit is the way in which we hear the truth of the word of God, Jesus, the truth. So you say like, okay, Savannah, I feel like you're just like talking in a circle. And to that I would say, yes, I'm talking in a circle. Because one piece of what I believe this passage is revealing to us, and remember, to those of us who believe, it's that the move of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, cannot be separated from the Word of God. It cannot be separated from the Word of God, i.e. the life of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the words of Scripture. And let me tell you, you cannot experience the power of the Holy Spirit if you do not know the Word. If you do not know Jesus, who is the Word, if you do not know his commands, if you do not know his word, you will not experience the power. In chapter 14, it says, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him, so you will receive him. Back to verse 17, Jesus says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives in you. Jesus is saying, if you don't know me, if you don't know my word, my Father, you will not know, or you will not recognize, is the version that my Bible says, the Holy Spirit. You want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? this. This is the way. He is the way. So the third thing that I believe this passage is revealing to us today in John 14, it teaches us about hearing the Holy Spirit. And this is really where I want to land today. This is really what kind of convicted my heart as I was preparing. Jesus says in John 14, verse 21, again in that same passage that we read, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." The type of love translated here is agape love, which you may have heard said before. That is, it's the same word used for love in John 3:16, which is one of the most notable scriptures in the Bible. God so loved, agape loved the world, that he gave his son as a sacrifice. That type of love, the type of love that God had for the world, is the love that Jesus is talking about for us. That you agape love me. So my question for you today, and that I've been asking myself, what do I love? Who do I love? I've been convicted in preparing for today's talk that so often I have set my focus on the wrong thing. And I'm wanting the power of the Spirit, the revelation, the gifts of God, but I so often forsake to love him. And you say, "Savannah, well, I think I love him. I mean, how do I know if I really love him?" And Jesus tells us, naturally, how in verse 23, he says, "All who love me will do what I say." If you love me, you will obey me. So if I ask you today if you love God, the crazy thing is I don't even really have to listen to your answer. I just can look at your life, right? You want to know how to hear the Holy Spirit, how to receive revelation, how to experience the power of God? Love him. Obey his word. Spend time with him. Read his word. Don't accept counterfeit love or counterfeit truth. Man, I think Satan, the devil, is having a heyday convincing Christ's followers that their obedience or lack of obedience doesn't affect their relationship. But Jesus says their obedience is the evidence of their relationship with me. And there's a connection I've never noticed before. Again, the Bible just informs itself. It's amazing like that. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking in 1 Corinthians 13, which is one of the most notable chapters of the Bible, right? I bet anyone married in here, you may have read this at your wedding or had it read out loud, or you've read it in so many different contexts. And, you know, Paul tells us what true love is. And then he ends the chapter by saying, "Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." But I don't want to stop there today, because the next line, the beginning of chapter 14, says this: "Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. Especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious." And it goes on to say, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. What Paul is saying is the work of the Holy Spirit, it starts with love. He says love is the highest goal. And then we seek and ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to say it another way. Relationship leads to revelation. Relationship leads to revelation. Because Paul, he warns us in the beginning of chapter 13, right? If you have revelation, if you speak in tongues of angels, if you have the gift of prophecy, even if you understand every single plan of God, but don't have love, what do you have? Nothing. Nothing. And here's the truth today. God is going to take care of speaking to you. Hear me. God is going to take care of speaking to you. He's going to take care of leading you. He's going to take care of giving you discernment when you need it, wisdom when you seek it, the strength to endure whenever you're going through hard times. What God wants from you is your love. And man, how often is God giving us revelation, but because we haven't learned and loved, we don't even understand it. We can't even see it. We can't even grasp it because we haven't built up the muscles to be able to carry it, right? And sometimes we want these big revelations from God that I believe he has for us. I believe the Holy Spirit is alive and active. But I also was convicted, and again, this whole thing flipped on its head for me, and so I know this is a word for us today, that what God wants from us is our love. And how do we love? We obey. We forsake all others. We seek him. If I could leave you with anything today, it would be this. Get to know God. Fall in love with God. Seek his presence, seek his character, spend time with him, and you will, I'm telling you, you will experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You will receive the gift of revelation, maybe even the gift of a prayer language, like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 14. Maybe you'll receive the gift of prophecy. And here's what I know to be true in my life as I've looked back. My experiences of hearing the Holy Spirit, of sensing his nudge or his direction or his calling in my life, it didn't start or even develop on a stage or in my Bible classes or even in theological discussions. It started when I was 13 years old and I took out my small pink Bible that had a sparkly flower on it and read it every night before I went to bed. That's when it started. That is when I fell in love with God. And fell in love is such a hard phrase for me because I don't feel like I accidentally fell. I dove in love with God. And I believe, like with my whole body, that what Satan wants to do is distract us with all the gifts when God just wants us to be with the giver. And he wants us to look all to the left at all the things, not even bad things. Gosh, Satan knows the word. Jesus says it. He knows the word. He knows the truth. So what's the difference in him and me? I love God, right? So, whew, thank you, Jesus. And here's the thing I know to be true about God. God is love. God is love, which means he's patient and he's kind and he keeps no record of wrongs and he never gives up and he never loses faith and he's always hopeful and he endures through every single circumstance. And I want to say the last thing that this scripture and all this talk is intended to do for us is to corner anyone in here in shame. If Satan right now is making you feel embarrassed or like you want to hide because maybe you know there's an area of your life you're not obeying God or there's an area that you have this sin struggle or maybe you're not fully putting him at the front of your life, let me say the shame that you're feeling, that is not the Holy Spirit. That is Satan, and he is the ultimate twister of the word of God. Again, he will take the word of God and he will twist it. But the scripture, the truth, it's so you can have hope. It's so you can have life. It's so you can have freedom, so that you can live in freedom. And Satan would love right now in this moment for you to just try to stuff, and bottle up all your feelings and your sin struggles. But the word says, if we want to be healed, we have to confess. Have you ever read that scripture? Confession brings healing. That was a revelation the Lord gave me a couple years ago in my life, because there was a couple things I was like, oh, I just feel like I can't shake this. And the Lord was like, so who knows about it? I'm like, you? And it was the moment I confessed that the Lord healed it. And I want to say today, the word says sin separates us from God, right? But Jesus abolished the wall that separated, which means that we can overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb. So I want to tell you today, I know we can't conquer the whole world, but if there's a struggle in your life and you're saying, Savannah, I want to obey God, I want to love him, I'm not sure I want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, I just feel bound, go tell someone. Because when you confess, it is like, it's otherworldly. You want me to explain the X's and O's? I can't. It's the otherworldly, supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that will break the chains off of your heart and off of your mind. And truly, I mean truly, you will experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit like you've never experienced before. Truly. If you've experienced that, I imagine so many of you in here have experienced that when you really get healing and you move forward and you're really, you know, in intimacy with God and love and obedience. It is like a freedom unlike no other, right? It's like, I am unstoppable because it just feels like you have nothing holding you back. And so what I believe today that God desires from us is our love, our devotion, to really believe him, to really stand on the truth of his word. And he will take care of the rest. And let me tell you, you can ask boldly and without shame. You can seek and you can knock. And he's the giver of all good things, right? But man, I believe what God is just telling us today is that we would move forward in love and obedience to him. And so I'm going to pray today, and then we'll close. But let's bow our heads. God, I just thank you so much for these women. I thank you for this word, the word that is alive and active, the word of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, would this just be truly the first step in all of our journeys? Would women who came in here today, God, would they walk feeling more equipped? Would they have like tools in their tool belt, God, that when they go home, Father, and they face these difficult feelings and they face tough times and they face hard decisions and they face hard seasons and depression and sadness, God, would they have the tools in their tool belt, God, to remember the truth of your word? Would your Holy Spirit do exactly what John 14 says, the advocate, the comforter, the counselor? Would you counsel? Would you comfort? Would you encourage every single woman in here today, God? Would you help us? Would our eyes be fixed on you, Father? Would our life be fixed on you, Father? And would we experience your love, which the word says it's even wider, and the breadth and depth of it is even deeper than we could ever imagine, God? So we'd experience that today. So we just love you and we praise you today and we thank you, God. And I pray that this just lights a fire in the souls of every single person in here, God, that they would get to know you deeper. They would fall in love with you even more, that you would be everything to them, God, and that you would make yourself known in such a real and tangible way. God, for any shame in here, God, I just stand against it truly by the power of your sacrifice of your son, that there will be no shame, no condemnation for anyone under the name of Jesus today. God, would you help us move forward as an army, because that is what we are, an army of believers, Father. Would the world know us by our love? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Praise. Amazing. Well, I know we have lunch here in a second. Do you want to say anything to dismiss? You know, I don't want to keep anyone from lunch, but if you have something or a question or want to come talk to me, I would love that. But I know to honor Jason in this shedge that he's made, I would love to get everybody to make sure we're all there to hear our speaker for lunch. So, but yes, if you want to talk, yes, Lisa? Oh, yes. Let me pray. The Holy Spirit's going to be on those sandwiches, let me tell you. Okay, let's pray. God, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the opportunity to get to eat together. And, man, there's so much spiritual significance about sharing a meal. So would you, in your Holy Spirit power, just reveal to us, help us have conversations, to meet friends, to eat good food, to have community, even in this next time, God. So we just thank you, and we love you, and thank you for what you're doing in this conference. Would you touch Ashley even right now? She's preparing for that second session. Would you speak to her, Father? So we just love you, and we praise you in your name. Amen.